Well, praise the Lord, such an awesome God. You know, if you're here this morning and you maybe you're feeling pretty worn out or give out or weak and feeble and drained and full of pain and, oh, can I make it? Can I take it any further? Can I take it any lower? And you just beyond your wits. You're even becoming discouraged spiritually because even some of the things that you know, that you've read, that you believe, that's not happening. So you even find yourself becoming a little spiritually discouraged. I want you to understand something about the Lord. I want you to understand this, beloved, and get it in your heart and in your mind so that you can embrace it. As long as you can stay in control, you understand you might not tap into the supernatural. I'll leave that up to God. But when you're at your wits' end, I tell you the atmosphere is impregnated now with the supernatural presence of God, because now you're going to look away from yourself. You can't go no further. I don't know. Maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you need to be wore down just a little bit more, but understand this. Listen, there's the supernatural power and presence of the Holy Spirit in the house of God today. Oh, just understand what you feel, what you sense. It's the Lord. Praise God. So, well, let me dismiss our children's church and our middle school church. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, there goes half of the congregation. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise the Lord. Praise God. And all of you old fogies can just stay in here with us. Praise the Lord. I love the Lord, don't you? Isn't he something? Has anybody ever impressed you more than what he has impressed you with? Anybody ever impressed you more? If they have, I'd like to meet that person, because I tell you, the Lord has just so blown me away. God is so good, and I'm so amazed at him. And when the world thinks that, well, they think all kinds of things. But isn't it wonderful to know that the power and the presence of the Lord is with you? He goes with you. He stays with you. He's in you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's counseling you if you'll counsel with him. Some of us know too much, we think. We're too smart for him to counsel with us because we know everything. But I tell you, when you run out of everything, everything you know is not working anymore, well, won't you consider turning and looking to him? Just look, just counsel with him for just a minute and see if he won't impress you. I tell you, the great counselor, he is our counselor. Do you understand? Wow. Now, I mean no disrespect for what I'm about to say, but just think of the hundreds, thousands of dollars that could be saved if we would counsel with our counselor. Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be wonderful? And I realize you might say, well, that gets a little difficult for me. I don't understand everything. Wouldn't it be just wonderful if the counselor helped you understand? Do you know God could impart into you understanding and clarity? My God. And reveal it to you. And it'll be as simple as the nose on your face. You say, how could I trip over that so many times? But we do trip over things, don't we? We trip over things. Just this morning, the Lord just really just lit me up with something in Sunday school. Do you know we trip over the door? The door, the very door into his presence, we'll trip over. Because you see, the door into his presence is your weakness. But see, you want to hide that. You want to pretend like you're not weak. You want to pretend like it's not there. You want to deny it. But in your weakness, my God, comes his strength. It's the door into the strength of the supernatural. But you think, oh no, but you can be distracted. You'll be guilted out. You can be shamed out. You can be, I don't know, you can't believe how weak you are. I don't, just go down your whole list. You know what you battle. And I tell you, it's because Satan wants to battle against you. And I tell you, he wants to keep you distracted. And by the way, Did you not know somewhere in your life that you are weak and that you need help? I mean, has it ever dawned on you might need a little bit of help, and especially if it'll come from heaven? I mean, is that a possibility? Well, praise the Lord, it is, and he wants to help, praise God. So, oh, my goodness. So, praise the Lord. That's not what I'm preaching about. We're fasting. Today, we're starting a fast, and so I think it would behoove me to stop for just a second and just define a biblical fast. I think it would help everybody if I define that. Some people don't know what fasting is, and some of you may. We do fast here about every year. I think we may have went 1 year that we didn't fast, and so, but we generally fast every year. We fast for all kinds of reasons. But now this year, I tell you two things the Lord has dropped in my spirit about our fast this year. So let me share them with you, and then I'm going to define the fast and why we're going to fast. The thing, if I was going to title this, which, Vinny, I usually don't title my sermons, do I? No. So Vinny always helps me with that. If I was going to title this, and it would be Upward and Inward. There's two things I know by the Lord. He wants us to look upward, and he wants us to look inward. And I want to define them. Just now, I know you know what upward is and inward is, and you know, you're going to say, well, here we go again. All we're going to talk about is the Lord upward. And well, what do you want to talk about when you come to the house of God? Don't you want to talk about the Lord? I mean, we want to talk about upward and inward. So I want to define fasting. And I got my definition off of the internet. Biblical fasting. So, it's funny, we got phones for all kinds of things, and you can Google biblical fasting. And I was shocked the internet knew what it was. In the Bible, fasting occurs when there is a need for a spiritual breakthrough due to burdens of life. Do we need to fast? Yeah, we're talking about some of us. Fasting is intentionally denying the flesh in order to gain a response from the Spirit. It means renouncing the natural in order to invoke the supernatural. So, Father God, we just this morning, Lord, we just want to come to you, oh, Father God, and thank you for your presence here this morning. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your sheep, my God. And I thank you for your love for your sheep and your care for your sheep. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you'd open up. There's somebody here that needs to hear your counsel. There's many of us here that need to hear your words. So Lord, I just pray you open ears. Anoint our ears. Anoint our ears, and help us to receive the word of the living God into our spirits. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. So let me just say this before I get started. If you are taking some kind of medication that requires some food, let me encourage you to, if you're under doctor's care, well, let me just say it this way. Maybe this will help you. If you're going to pay the doctor, you ought to at least take his advice. You're paying big bucks, or at least your insurance company is, and some of you are. So, and let's do it. Listen, I'm not asking you to not take your medicine or to not do what doctors prescribe. So what are you asking, Pastor John? I'm glad you asked me that. What I am asking you to do is to consider. If you need a breakthrough, I would like, in a breakthrough in any area of your life, I would like for you to consider, if you can't put but one meal away a day, would you consider one meal? Listen, some of you could just fast your entertainment. Boy, I tell you, you might be surprised how God would bless you if you wouldn't fill your mind full of all them R-rated movies and X-rated movies. Oh. You might be surprised. And listen, not just quit, but while you're not watching, why don't you do a little bit of reading and praying? So fasting is a two-part. I'm going to quit doing some stuff, and I'm going to do some stuff to draw close to God. It's in the Bible, beloved. Did you know every time the children of Israel got against just a block wall, when it got beyond them, listen, when it's fighting wars with other nations that was twice their size, they would go to fasting and praying and say, God, what in the world do we do? And sometimes the Lord would give them counsel. Just go out and praise me. Well, say what? Go out and praise you. Yeah, just go in front of them. Put the soldiers behind you, and you go out and start praising the Lord. And when they got to where they were going, my God, the enemy was confused. They done turned on each other and killed each other. They didn't even lift a hand. You just think of that. What God, what we listen to me. Listen to me. The reason that we're not experiencing the supernatural is because some of the things we don't even consider God would even do anyway. Some of you have already convinced God don't care where you at. Some of you already are saying, I've made my bed hard. I guess I'm just going to have to lie in it. Well, why don't you turn to the Lord? Some of that has got some truth to it. But do you realize that everything we do, beloved, is self-inflicting? If you're going to get what you deserve, my goodness. Boy, I tell you what, I don't want to get what I deserve. Do you want to get what you deserve? I just tell you, beloved, we're talking about a God that can reconcile, that can renew, that redeem. How about that? He can redeem. Did you know Jesus Christ himself come out of the lineage of Bathsheba and David? What? Study your Bible a little bit. But I just understand, God is in the redeeming business. And I know you made a mess. And God, I tell you, when the mess gets so messy you can't handle it and you'll call on him, praise the Lord, he'll begin to enter into your mess. You say, well, I didn't deserve that. We don't deserve any of it, beloved. But praise God, aren't you glad that God loves you? You heard the prophecy this morning, how much he loves you. My goodness, beloved, do you understand? Do you understand he chose you? Do you understand he chose you when you weren't worth choosing? God chose you. I will choose. Listen, think about what God has done. He sees something in you you don't see. You want to keep beating yourself up over stuff, and God sees something. He won't let go. I know some of you may have even said this. Lord, do one or the other. Either straighten me out or let me go. My God, I'm miserable in between. I'm just miserable in between. Let me go. I tell you, the devil came to me one time. I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on because somebody needs to hear this. And what I found myself saying inwardly? I didn't say it with my lips, but he hears our thoughts, don't he? You know what I said? I said, I kind of wish that I didn't know what I know. I wish, because I'm responsible now for what I have learned, and I wish I hadn't learned some of this, and some days being saved for me was so hard, I kind of wish I wasn't saved. What? Now, you know that wasn't from the Lord. You know the devil was trying his best to make me understand, or to at least get me to align with his thought pattern that being saved is too hard. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Whoa. Where am I at? Why am I here? Jesus said, why don't you come and learn from me? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What are you carrying, beloved? And why are you carrying it? You know. Well, fasting brings on supernatural because as I fast and as I pray. So as I said, food is generally what we fast. Food is the fast. But I tell you, there's other things, because the issue of the heart, other things can be fasted too. Oh, really, Pastor John? Yeah, Daniel fasted and he ate what? Fruit and vegetables and drank water. Yeah, you can get off of some of the junk and it would be beneficial to you, because the sugar, now I know what I'm talking about. I can eat a dump truck load of sugar. I mean by the dump. I can eat my weight and more, but sugar will affect you. It'll affect you emotionally. So anyway, this is not a health tip. This is not about your health, even though it includes health. This is about your spiritual. It's about where you're at spiritually. It's about the breakthrough that you need. It's about the breakthrough that the church needs. We need a breakthrough in our churches. And we need, you know, because I tell you, the Lord wants to do some wonderful things. My God. So in this fasting, I want to tell you how to do it, okay? Spiritually. I want to go to the Word of God, and I want to show you something in the Scriptures spiritually for you to, if you would, to embrace in this fast. In Matthew chapter 6, along about verse 16 through 18, it says, Jesus is teaching. He just taught them the Lord's Prayer, and now he's talking about the subject of fasting. And he said this, when you fast, now you need to hear this, guys. Spiritually, you need to embrace this. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. You ever been by somebody and say, hey, you all right? I'm fasting. I can't hardly make it. Would y'all pray the devil would leave me alone? The devil's beating me down. My God, I don't have no strength in my body. Let's don't be like the hypocrites. For they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. If some of you struggle with the pastor or you're somewhere in a corporate fast, they ask for a corporate fast, and you say, well, wait a minute, we're supposed to do that in secret. Now, this is an attitude of the heart. There's many times that corporate fast has been called for in the Word of God. So, you know, so anyway, let's don't be gloomy. Let's don't, you know, we don't want to be seen by others. He said, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, now you ought to consider this, anoint your head and wash your face. Now let me tell you what that is in the Greek. You ought to take some oil in the morning and anoint your head and wash, wait a minute, wash your face first, then anoint your head. How about that? Would you consider doing that? You say, literally, Pastor John? Yeah. Literally, if you don't have anointing oil in your house, how about pray over your Crisco and put one of it on your head? Just anoint your head with some oil just because the Bible asks you to. Now, I hope you've got some kind of oil in your house, but if you don't have anointing oil, consider get up in the morning and wash your face. Wow. Well, some of us don't even do that when we're not fasting, do we? That'll be a new one for me. And wash your face and anoint your head. That's what the Bible tells us to do. That your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So, Pastor John, why are you telling us to fast? Then the Bible tells us to do it secret. The Bible says to anoint your head. The Bible says, listen, don't go around to be seen by others. That's what the Bible says. And when we call on a fast here, we're not calling on it to be seen by others. That's not what we're doing. We're calling for people that wants a breakthrough. We want spiritual breakthrough. We want to hear. I tell you this, I have fasted before, and I'm sure you have. I'm not sure everybody here has ever fasted. But I tell you what, this is a wonderful experience because I tell you, and it's the oddest thing, as I pull away from food, it seems like I begin to get aware of spiritual things. And I don't know how that works. I'm all of a sudden, I'm more sensitive to the Lord, and I don't understand that because, I mean, what's a hamburger got to do with anything? But obviously it does because I'm more sensitive, I hear him, I see things. Sometimes I see things that God shows me that I didn't see. You know, when I wasn't fasting, I didn't see it. But then when I was fasting, I was like, wow, what? Wow, you're kidding. Well, you think I'm getting delirious, but I'm not. It's not delirious. I'm fasting and I'm praying and I'm seeking the Lord. And the Lord is responding to my intentionality because I'm intentional about this now. It's one thing to, you know, yeah. You ever had somebody say, will you pray for me? Yeah, we'll pray for you. Yeah, we'll pray for you. And you hang up the phone and say, oh, God, help them. All right, well, turn Andy Griffin back on. And so, or how about, would you pray for me? Yes, we'll take some time right now. We're going to call your name out. It's a little bit different, ain't it? It's a little bit different when it's when you really sincerely want to pray and see some God do something in somebody's life. Now, you know, I can't put a time frame on it. It's the attitude of the heart. What they fasting and do will bring the attitude of the heart into check. Because I tell you, get intentional about the fast. And so if I'm going to look upward and I'm going to look inward while I'm fasting, I would like to just share with you what's in my heart about upward, and then I'll go to inward. So I think we're pretty clear on fasting. So let me say it one more time. You can fast. I'm not telling you how to fast, but I want you to consider. Again, you can fast all kinds of things. You can fast, like I say, your entertainment. You can fast. You know what somebody shared with me just this week? Dear precious saint of God shared this with me in the parking lot. Do you know the last time we had a fast, one of the things I love to do, now this is them talking to me, I love to play solitaire. And I loved it. I play and good at it. And I play sometimes more than I wanted to play. But I played. I got hooked on solitaire. And do you know when we fasted, I fasted solitaire. Now you think, what? That's the craziest thing I ever heard. Well, how much time do you spend on the phone? How much time do you spend on games? How much time do you spend on the Facebook? How much time? They said they fasted that, and they said to this day, they not have played another game of solitaire. And when they couldn't believe how much time. You know, you get pulled into stuff and you didn't realize how much time you was devoting to it because the devil has helped you to just forget time management. All of us has the same amount of time. When we stand before God and God says, okay, all right, Justin, come on up here. Let's talk about your 24 hours. Well, I had a pregnant wife. Oh, bless your heart. Let's move on. No, it's not. You understand, we all have, and we don't time block. We don't time manage. You want God to help you manage money, learn to manage time. Just think about it. Learn to manage your own tongue. Oh, I better move on. Let's go. So we fasting. I want to, as we go this week, and it can change next week, but this week, if you'll consider fasting, if some of you need a breakthrough, I'd like for you to consider this week looking upward. And let me do that one for you. I want to do that out of Scripture as we look upward into our fasting because we divide it in some of our passions. 2020, the year 2020, has helped me to see things a little clearer. We're divided sometimes in our loyalties. We're divided. Let me just read it to you. Okay, so looking upward. Matthew chapter 6, I'm still in the same chapter. And I want to look at 22 through 24, and I want to read it to you. Because this is what Jesus said. So I want you to understand this teaching. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? And then he goes on to say, no one, this will help you, can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So I know as we look upward, the Lord wants to give us a singleness of eye. We want to be wholeheartedly loyal to the Lord. And I know it can get distracting because we think God wants us to do all kinds of things. Look what's going on in this world between the COVID-19, between the all of the political upheaval, between the the racial issues, it's like, wow. I mean, we've been bombarded. I don't even know what I believe anymore. I mean, who's right? Who's wrong? Who's you're divided and you're distracted and you're afraid. Listen, I know this by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord wants you to settle down some, and if you'll get your eye, if you can get your eye, if you can get your attention, if you can get your focus wholeheartedly on God and His Word, I tell you, He'll settle you. He will establish you in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of this storm, today, this mess, all of this mess. We said from the very beginning, we're stronger together. Listen to me. We can talk about, we can talk about all day long about whether you are Republican or whether you are Democrat or whether you are Hispanic or whether you are white or whether you, what's another one? My God, I want to know this. Are you a Christian? Have you been bought by the blood of the Lamb? I don't care what color you are, beloved. I don't care who you voted for. I tell you, you're going to, there's a pandemic that's much worse than COVID-19. Many, many hundreds of thousands are slipping off into hell while we worry about the politics. Come on, beloved. We got to get on to understand something. God is wanting to help us to get focused and to get settled and to get established with the people. Where is the world going to look if you all screwed up? Where can they can't go to the church? The church is afraid to meet. My God, where can they go? Where can they get hope? And I tell you, then they come to you, and you messed up. You don't know what you believe because you don't have a single. Your loyalties are scattered. You know, my God, you can know something. Know this. Oh, let me say this. I've said it two or three times, and now I need to say it again. When your loyalties are stronger for your friends, when they ask you to do things wrong than it is to do right, your loyalties are screwed up. I'm sorry. I'm telling you the truth. You just say, well, I won't say. You're deceiving. You're a deceiving person. Do you understand? Let the children of God stand for the truth of God. Amen. What's wrong with us just being honest with everybody? Oh, do you know it'll help them if you'll just be honest? The most spiritual thing you can do is to be honest with your brothers and sisters. You scared you're going to hurt somebody's feelings? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Let me just tell you something. What are you going to do when they get to heaven and they may not make heaven and they look to you and say, you knew this and you were scared you'd hurt my feelings? My God, I'm going to slip off into a hell and you worried about hurting. You kidding me? Are you kidding me? You knew and you wouldn't tell me. You knew I was doing wrong and you wouldn't say it. What is wrong with you? Do you know what you've done? Do you know how you befriended me? I tell you, beloved, you think, I'm telling you, eternity's closer to us than we think. My God, I tell you, if you love people, tell them in love. You don't have to hurt their feelings, but tell them the truth. I didn't mean to spray. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth in love. You can do it. Don't let them keep believing a lie. Well, if I tell them, they ain't going to like me no more. See, you want to elevate their friendship, their influence above God's fellowship influence. Is that you really want to do that? Oh, I would never do that. Yes, you will. If you won't deal with honesty and truth, you're elevating. You understand? You got it? Everybody with me? My God. So singleness. Right now, you'll get caught up in this trap if you're not careful. Because of the culture that we now live in, and everybody knows. Did you know even the lost know this? You'll love everybody. You know what? If I'm a practicing homosexual and y'all going to, you know, just, you know, shoulder me or, you know, disc me or whatever word. I'm just telling you, understand something. Y'all don't love. Y'all haters. You're haters. You're haters because you don't love me. And yes, we do. But just understand this. Understand this. Understand the royal pecking order, okay? I need for you to be willing to love all people. Amen. We got to learn. We don't have to love all the dysfunctions. You don't have to love the druggie. You don't the drugs, but you love the druggie. You don't have to love. You understand? Understand this, okay? If you want, when they pull the love card on you, just understand this. The love card is like this. We love God first, and then we love everybody. I tell you what, there's some people loving stuff that God don't love. So I want you to understand something. Love what God loves first, and love all people. I tell you, if I am blind, if I am undone, and I'm lost, somebody throw me something. I didn't know that. You've been sitting in church hearing this stuff. I didn't know that. I don't read the Bible. I didn't know that was in the Bible. I don't even know. I still don't even know what you're telling me is the truth unless you show it to me. So, beloved, let's get a singleness of eye. Let's don't be scattered. I tell you, it offends God. It offends God. He said, I'll have no other gods before me. I won't even have one beside me. God is God all by himself. You know? And you might say, well, I don't know. That sounds too old fogey, too religious, too. I don't care how it sounds. I'm just telling you what the truth is. An eye that is single. Oh, you full of spiritual health. But the eye that is not single, when he says bad, you're unhealthy spiritually. You're just unhealthy, and he wants to bring you to a healthy place. How unhealthy are you? Well, we'll have to let the word check you up. You'll have to go to the doctor, the great physician, spiritually to find out how you may be full of worms, parasites. Some of us may have a cancer, a spiritual cancer. Do you understand me? My God. So I that is single means I'm just looking and I'm spiritually healthy. When I come to doors of weakness, I let them be a door for strength. Because his strength is made perfect in my weakness, I'll look to the Lord. When I come to my deficiencies, thank God, God didn't say, now here's what I'm going to do for you now. I want you to follow me, and I'm going to make you efficient in everything. In all things thou shalt be efficient. No, it ain't what he said. He said, I want you to follow me by day. I'm going to give you a cloud by day, and I'm going to give you a fire by night, and I want you to follow me. It ain't about your deficiencies or inadequacies or efficiencies. It's about the Lord God and us leaning on him. You say, are you kidding me? Yeah, it's that simple. Ain't it funny how difficult you're making things when it's as simple as the nose on your face? And why are you complicating it so much when it's as simple as the nose on your face? Will you just do the simple things? My God. We just do the simple things. Will you just do step one? You got to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. If you are a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like looking in a mirror and you see yourself, oh, I got a pimple right there, and you leave and forget the pimple's there. Pop the pimple, will you? I'm just using that for an example. Do you understand me? Do something. You forget what you look like. Spiritually, you walk away and you forget what you look like in the mirror. Oh, I remember one time Duke Power, they had this big wheel come in, and the whole office was, I was just a contractor, and the whole office was just buzzing. Oh, his name was Sam. I forget his last name, but I remember his first name. Sam's here today. Sam's from Charlotte. He's from the Oval Office. Sam, he's the man. Oh, and everybody, get everything right. And lo and behold, and they walked by my office, and they introduced me to it, and I was like, oh, well, hey. I turned around, and I said, well, hey, Sam. I didn't know I was, as a contractor, I'd get to meet him. But when I turned around and looked at him, that joker had toothpaste all the way around his mouth. And he done come through the whole building, and I was like, Sam, hey, Sam, it's nice to meet you. Do me a favor. Well, I said, go look in the mirror in the bathroom. He said, what's wrong? You know, I just met the guy. This guy's like the man. And I'm like, you know what? He said, what's wrong with me? I said, you got toothpaste all the way around your mouth. He said, are you kidding me? I said, no, go look in the mirror. And he said, and he looked to my supervisor and said, you let me walk through this building with this toothpaste all the way around my mouth? And he looks at me like, thank you. Well, who was going to tell the man? I mean, I felt like a nut. I don't know why I'm saying, you ever been around somebody and they got something hanging out their nose and you don't want to say nothing about it? I mean, you even do this. You're hoping they'll just follow suit. You know, I mean, you understand, but ain't it funny how we'll let things slide because we don't want to say nothing because we feel uncomfortable? But what about spiritually when we let things slide because, well, God, that's up to you. No, I want you. I want to use you. I want to use you. Can you do it in love? You know, now some people go off the deep end and they like to tell you, well, listen, if you don't do it, you know, you're going to bust hell wide open. I just want to be the first to tell you hell's going to be hot. The fires are high. Do you understand? Whoo, I told them, didn't I? Praise God. Well, no, you ain't helped nobody. You didn't help yourself. You met people like that, hadn't you? Y'all laughing because every one of y'all have met somebody like that, hadn't you? What I hope and pray, though, none of y'all are like that, right? Right? Well, a couple of you. Praise God. So we don't want to be like that. So my eye is single. And then I don't know why, because I think it gets a little blurry when you think that you have to defend or that you have to, when it comes to the money, I think some of us think that we're responsible to raise our own money when we didn't realize that God gave us the first dime we ever got. It is God who gives man and woman, listen to me, the power to get wealth. It says, but you may get sidetracked because it's about the money. It's about the money. I work for the utility company, and some of y'all heard me say this, but I need to say it again right here for just somebody, because somebody needs this, and it'll help you, because I work for the utility company, and we would travel everywhere when the storms was out, and blah, 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 but anyway, I told my wife one night, we was having a lot of good services, but I told my wife, I'm going to stay at home tonight, because you know what, I'm just wore out, I'm tired, and she said, oh, bless your heart, honey, lay down, take a nap. Thank you, Shug. I would go if I was you, but you can lay down, take a nap. Thank you, Chuck. Just go on. Leave me alone. So I lay down and take a nap. Now, church starts at 6 o'clock. I fell asleep. I was in a deep sleep. I was in a good sleep. I was sleeping good. Man, I saw in logs. 6 o'clock, my eyes was wide open. I looked over to the clock and I said, are you for real? Are you for real? Now, I'm disturbed because they're having church and I'm laying in the bed. What's wrong with me laying in the bed? I work like a dog all the time. What's wrong with a man resting? What's wrong with us getting a little sleep? What's wrong with us? And I went down my list. You with me? What's wrong with it? I mean, I don't see nothing wrong. I mean, you know, I miss one service. You think I'm going to die and go to hell? I mean, come on. I'm just one service. Good night. And I went down my list. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, which shocked me about this. I didn't ask him to speak to me about it. I just said, what is the deal? I mean, come on, you know. And the Lord revealed this to my heart. If Duke Power had just called me on the phone and say, hey, we need you, because, see, I get overtime. I was making good money. When I was getting overtime, I mean, I was knocking down some change. Phew. Overtime. And listen, if I work enough hours, they'll even feed me a steak. Yeah. So, the Lord said if the phone had rung, you would run. You would go. And you would work around the clock again if that's necessary. I worked 3 or 4 days without sleep before, guys. No joke. And I wasn't taking drugs. We're just staying up trying to get people's power on. And so I learned that my heart wasn't total single. It was about money, too. And nothing wrong with it. You know, let me say this. Money is a wonderful servant. It's a wicked master. Okay, let me just say that to you again. Money is a wonderful servant. Don't let it master you. And it had mastered me. And so my loyalties was divided. And so I tell you, the truth of the matter was, I felt like a prostitute there for a minute because I just go for the money. They pay me more money. I don't make no money at church. I go out there and just hear them talk about Jesus again and again and again. But I tell you, God still convicted me. This is how I process. If you call me and you need me and it's in my power to be there, I'll do my best to be there. Even if it's very inconvenient. All the calls that y'all going to get, Listen to me. All the times that you need to stop and hug somebody's neck and talk to somebody about their situation, most of the time will not be convenient. Every once in a while, you may get to set up a meeting, and it's wonderful. Y'all can meet down at some nice restaurant, and it'd be a wonderful time together. But most of the time when people call on you, it won't be convenient. And I'll tell you something else. I come to learn something about me. I didn't love the Lord like I thought I did. Now, I love the Lord. I was zealous. I was on fire. But I'll tell you one thing. You get to talking about $30, $40, $50 an hour, yippee, okay, I'm your man. I'll be there. Let's work 10 of them. 10 times 500. No, that's $500. Yeah, let's go. Anyway, get singleness. Look upward. Look upward. Oh, my goodness. I need to take that clock down. It's moving way too fast. Upward. Let's be upward. Let's be single. While you're fasting, get singleness of mind, get singleness of heart, get centered again. Let the Lord bring you center again. Some of you are getting discouraged even about spiritual things. So maybe things are not going the way you thought they're supposed to go. And I tell you, you're getting discouraged now, and you're a little perplexed about what's going on. And I tell you, and your eye begins to wander. I'm wondering, what did God mean this? God mean that? So let me just move off of singleness of eye. Did y'all see what Jesus said about it? Amen's required. So Jesus said that. Pastor John didn't say that. That's not my notes. That's his notes. And he said that about singleness of eye. Let's talk about inward for just a minute, okay? So I want to go to the book of James about inward just here for a second, because I know this in the Lord, by the Lord, even with my own personal life. So I want to just read to you something out of James. It's familiar to a lot of you, but some of you may have never read it ever in your life. But it's found in James. It's chapter 1 and it's verse 5 through 8, okay? And it says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, I'm talking about inward now, then let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. If I stop right there, that would be enough, wouldn't it? If any of you lacks wisdom, the problem a lot of times with wisdom is when you ask and God reveals it to you, that ain't what you wanted to hear. The problem is we want God to align with our wish list, don't we? We want God to align with what's going on in my life. And do this. This is what I like for you to do. This is what I'm believing. This is what I'm speaking to. And God's way beyond that. No. God has an agenda. And if I lack wisdom and I want godly wisdom, I can ask. And he said he'll give it to me even without reproach. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to give you the wisdom that you ask for. So if we ask, he'll give it to us. And let's go on. But let him ask in faith with no doubling or doubting, excuse me, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he or she is a double-minded person, man, unstable in all of the ways. So in the day and age that we live in, everything has to be tried and tested. Even if you get a good word today, I promise you, before the night is over, it may be tested. And you'll have to say, was that a real word? Or was that? Because I tell you, Satan wants to toss you, and a lot of us are tossed. We're tossed with every wind that comes along. We get double-minded. I don't care if you get double-minded about the paint in your kitchen. Think it through. I don't want red. I want pink. Okay, have it pink. But when it comes to God, don't get double-minded about it. The Word says what he says, and it's yea and amen. Regardless if you see it right now, or you sense it right now, or you feel it right now, it is the Word of the living God. But I tell you, we get washed out. We get tossed. Do you ever feel tossed to and fro? Now, be honest. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the Lord. If you're not going to be honest with God, you're playing a game. Yeah, you're playing a game. quit deceiving your own selves, beloved. Do you know that God knows who you are? Do you understand that God is very familiar with you? And he even goes as far to say, you hear it all the time, and you got to hear it again. He even counts them hairs on your head. How familiar can you? Is anybody in here besides maybe Alex and Beth who knows how many hairs the other has on their head? I don't have a clue. Sherry's hairy. I don't have a clue how many hairs is on her head. Half of them's left on my sink most of the time. I'm like, what are you doing? How can you not be bald? And yet God is that close to us, but he wants to establish us. He wants us to quit having a double mind about everything because we're unstable in all of our ways. Do you understand? You can't even find a foothold when you're unstable in all of your ways. You're just a rolling, it's like John said this morning, we're like a lost ball in the tall weeds. Yeah. So, and God don't want that for us. So while we're fasting, let's be honest. Let's look upward. Let's get focused, guys. Listen, I know a lot of things going on. I know a lot of people's prophesying. I know a lot of things are being said about the world, about the government, about heaven, about, listen, okay, listen to me. Just settle down. Get singleness of mind, singleness of heart. After all, I tell you, God's going to have to help us anyway, isn't it? I see it's getting to be such a mess. Ain't nobody can do anything but God. Do you think a president, I don't care if it's Mickey Mouse, he ain't going to straighten it out. It's a mess now. He said, we're going to need God. But it ain't. We're not trying to straighten out politics. That's not what we're after. My God, there's a government that's coming. Did you know there's an influence that's coming? Did you know there's power that's coming? My God, it's going to rest on the world. And do you know where it's coming from? It's coming from God. And it'll be right. So I just want to understand something. As you get wore out with all kinds of wear outs, settle down. Get singleness of eye. Don't be double-minded. Oh, you pray in faith. Then you say, I wonder if I got good faith. And it don't matter. The devil don't care how he works. I pray. I said the word. I must not have said it loud enough. Let me say it a little bit louder. You know, God's old. Can you hear me now? Listen, we do some silly things. We do some crazy things. And we double-minded because we doubt. We prayed a prayer. Is that just your wish list, or did you pray that in faith? Did you pray in faith? Listen, you have permission to ask God for anything. Did you know that? And he even said this about what you ask. If you can believe it, you can receive it. Huh? What? If you can believe it, you can believe it, you can receive it. So we ask God for things. We even ask God, for good things, for right things. And then we doubt it because we don't see it. You know what? I tell you this. When the Lord speaks to us, whether he speaks collectively in the congregation or individually, you know, sometimes God brings a word suddenly and it comes to pass. Boom. And sometimes, you know, God waits. And while God is waiting, he's not just waiting. He's doing other stuff, preparing something ahead of you. And then I tell you what you ought to learn to do. This will help you. It helps me, so I practice this. When I start falling into the mully grubs of any kind of way, shape, form, or fashion, you know what I do? I shut up. I get real quiet. Because I've learned something. It's not what goes into man or the woman that defiles him. It's what comes out this mouth. Well, if God really cared, what'd you say? If I care. I tell you what, we're going to wire that one out. Let's just leave you right there till you figure out whether I care or not. Now, God ain't smart aleck and he's not arrogant, but I tell you what he does. He wants to do a pure work in you, and he'll leave you right there wondering, does he really care? He'll just leave you there until you say, you know what, I know he cares. What did you say? You do know I care? Then I think what I'll do. Now sometimes we try a little psychology on him. We know you care. Am I going to get it today? I know you care. You care. And you don't get it. But be quiet and just shut and wait. Just, I know you want to say it so bad, but did you know if you can learn to control your tongue, that the Bible says you could rule a city? So if you can't learn to control your tongue, you probably can't even rule yourself. It's the truth, isn't it, beloved? So during the fast, let's stand our feet, praise God. During the fast, there's two things I would love. Number one, I'd love for you to consider fasting, okay? And the reason I want you to fast would be for supernatural breakthrough, but right now I'd love for you to focus on supernatural breakthrough, maybe it's three things, and on the inward, let's have prayer for Ed. He just fell on this thing. Let y'all stretch your hands this way. Father God, right now, Lord, we lay our hands on Ed right now, on his body, Father God, his legs, his arms, his back. My God, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord, we pray, my God, healing over Ed McGee. My God, we pray that you would minister to him in the name of Jesus. We pray for a miracle, Lord, in his body. My God, in Jesus' name. My God, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ed, can you stand up okay? Okay. One of you guys, if y'all would, help him stand. Let's make sure Ed is okay. The devil's a liar. Yeah, sure. You feel okay, Ed?
Yeah,
okay, you sure?
Yeah.
All right. Nothing hurts?
Nothing but my arm.
Yeah, which arm? This arm?
This arm.
Okay. All right. You moving it, though?
Yeah, I can move it.
Yeah. So, Lord, we just pray over his arm right now, Lord. Lord Jesus, my God, Lord, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Ed, I'll have you a handrail up on this platform next week.
Okay.
If I don't do nothing else this week, I'll have a handrail up on them stairs.
Yeah.
He's bound to turn and come up anyway. Let's help him. Praise the Lord. Okay, we got him, Glenda. Praise God. Praise God. You know, I don't know if y'all knew this about Ed when maybe 2 years? Has it been 4 years? 5 years? Good night. Ed had had a stroke, and they said that Ed would probably never play an instrument again, and he would... Well, they said all kinds of things. But within about 6 months, and they even said he'd be in the rehab, I believe, if I remember right, about 3 years, didn't they? Well, didn't they say he'd be there? And about 6 months later, he was sitting at the piano playing. And I guess it was 7 months later, he was back on the platform playing. And some of the guys that come out here for special meetings, I won't call what they are, they had to come in and see him sitting up here playing. They couldn't believe it. Isn't it wonderful? God is good, isn't it? God is good. So, praise the Lord. So, inward, upward, and I'd like for you to be, you know, very intentional, you know, about, it's not how much. I know Moses went 40 days without water. Jesus went 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. I'm not asking you to do 40 days. Lord, I'd love for you just do 40 minutes without food. Facebook. I mean, that'd be cool. And but not just go sit in the corner and think about Facebook, but go pray. And I don't know why I'm on Facebook. But as we look inward, guys, I want you to understand that God wants to deal. Now, I keep saying this. I said this last week, and I said it again this week. He wants to deal with our deficiencies. He wants to deal with our pains. He wants to deal with our loss. He wants to deal with your finances. He wants to deal with your relationships. He wants to deal with unforgiveness. He wants to deal, I tell you, because, listen, it's one thing to say you're a Christian and you've never been through anything. But what about when you're a Christian and you've been through hell and back and yet you're a Christian? What about when you've had to deal with all kinds of things and you wondered, and even some of your friends even said, I don't know what in the world you've done wrong because everything's going wrong for you. But you went through, you know, I think of Ken. Ken, he was talking about this morning, and I know he don't care if I say, but you know what? He went through cancer. He said, well, if he's a Christian, he wouldn't have got cancer. No. He got cancer and went through cancer, and here he is. Praise the Lord. The Lord healed him. He went through radiation. He went through the whole thing, and yet here he is, cancer-free. Well, you say, well, why didn't God just heal him? Listen, God ain't, I want you to understand God's style. God ain't easy. God sent his own son to a cross to die for us. Just know this. I wish you'd quit asking for the easy way out. I wish you would embrace God in the midst of your mess and ask God for wisdom right there where you're at and ask God help you navigate through your crud. God will help you there. I tell you, God will be the God of your crud. Do you understand? God will be the God of your mess. Do you understand? God will be the God of your dysfunction. And God will be the God of your unforgiveness. You said they done it to me. I will never forgive them. I tell you what, you can. Don't you want to? You can. Oh, my God. Listen, I'd like while they sing a song here in closing, just I'd like for you to at least consider, number one, that you would fast. Number two, I want you to look upward. And the third thing is to look inward. Would you, beloved? Consider. Your back's against the wall. I wish you'd consider a little more depth. We don't want a superficial Christianity anyway. We want depth. We want to be more than a mile wide and an inch deep. Beloved, we want to be a mile deep and an inch wide if there has to be a measurement. Yeah, let's sing.